Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 187. Do you realise we've only got a couple of days left?
Well, yeah, we can just make thinking that. I'm just going to say that.
Very sad, isn't it? What can we get out of 190?
190.
No, it doesn't really work, does it?
No, it does.
Well, yeah, but as long as you don't know the rules.
So 180 plus 10.
CQ-deb, CQ-deb.
Kim's port cheers from the smoke.
Poor Kim.
Yeah.
It's not
what
good.
Do you think of when she says cheers from the smoke?
I've no idea.
Landon, mate, Landon.
Oh, no, no, I don't
The
bother.
Smoke.
hello, ladies and Mike. Oh, honorary boy. You're an honorary lady. You actually went to a
hen night.
A hen night.
I did.
Mm.
Yeah.
Only you. Only you. Right, so hello, Kim. Hello, Deb. Hello, Debbie. I've heard from Jonathan. Well, actually, he's heard from me and then I heard from him. He's fine. It is just about sundown here. So he'll be back with us, hopefully, sundown on Sunday. But he's fine. In fact, when I texted him, because he's going to listen on catch-up, isn't he? I got a little message back, like the one I used to get from you many, many moons ago, Mike.
Mm.
The one that said, I'm driving. And I thought, you are? Jonathan, where are you going? You're not allowed out.
The last time I sent you, well, I didn't send it.
It did.
The phone does it automatically. The last time it sent you a message that said, I'm driving, I was actually wheeling a trolley around Tesco. And it thought I was driving.
That's either.
But then that reminds me of the conversation that I think it was it Kim and Debbie were having in Slack about the watch?
Oh, the hand washing.
About the
thing.
Hand washing, and it thinks you're washing your hand when you're not.
That could get very interesting.
Well.
Just saying.
You know this, yeah.
Steady on, Mike, be careful.
You know this COVID thing that is.
Which one?
In, the one that's bunged into iOS 14.
Oh, the one that turned on automatically that
yeah.
I turned off. That one.
Yeah. Well, somebody at work posted a screenshot of their phone and said, should I tap continue? And it was that COVID thing.
I didn't even get, a message to say, do you want this
I
or
mean,
not?
I'm not graded, so I don't know. But basically, there was a whole thread going on, and people were saying yes. The gist of it was yes.
Exposure notifications.
And then, somebody then started talking about, have you turned the wash your hands thing on? And I immediately thought of Kim and Debbie.
No, I haven't, because the only phone I've got this on is my old 7, which is struggling manfully, poor thing. It does need a new battery. And I've done it on there so I can test things like the widgets and stuff. The widgets I'm finding very pretty, the new ones. It's amazing how more functional they appear, which obviously is making me incredibly cranky about ones that aren't so functional. So the original ones that we used to have, so like Google Calendar, I'm looking at you. There is no new one. And that forces it to the bottom, and I'd actually like my calendar towards the top, instead of which I've got iTunes Music. And I think I own about 4 albums on there, so it's showing me Train, which is indeed one of the ones that I've got. And then I've got other stuff. In fact, the funniest thing was an iPad where it says on this day. And on this day, I got my watch in 2016. But the one that it showed me on my... Oh, no, that's not actually bad, that. I could tolerate that. Why it gives me 3 different calendar views? In fact, 4 if you count the Google one. Must want to make sure I don't miss something. It was an on this day, and the on this day that was actually there, we'd released an episode of MacBytes, and it had picked the cover art to show me, and it was Blofeld's cat. Well, I'm in fits. Thinking, oh, good grief, we must have released a MacBytes, and it was Blofeld's cat. Ah, oh, bless. Right, what's going on here? Hello, Paul. How are you doing? What am I right about? I'm usually just ranting about something. The iBeam doesn't show up when you tap to type. I must admit. Oh, and I've got a new app as well, which has sent all my others to cock. I know where my icon should be, you see, and they've obviously added that translate one. And now I've got like a different kind of, an entirely different kind of look to this. Has anybody tried this, you know, shove my stuff in folders? Organise my stuff for me? Because I must admit,
Now my OCD kick in.
Oh, there's you.
Where's me?
1st of June 2018. Photos for you, and it's you and Ollie. It's a very bald you by comparison.
Yeah. I got told I look like Einstein.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Let them tell you, you look like the Yorkshire Ripper. Just saying. That's interesting. In the old version, iOS 13...
Debbie did.
You used to have a done at the top.
And done. Now, yeah.
Done, and now you've just got a plus. So how are you supposed to say you're done? I mean, on my 7, I can press the home button.
That's going to screw up the videos that I've just recorded for work.
Oh, dear, they're going to need to be redone. Good luck with that.
Mind you, we have been told don't update to iPadOS 14 yet, so...
Welcome to Translate, conversation mode. Oh, yeah, does it work with Geordie and stuff? On device mode, favourites mode, continue. All right. Improve Siri and dictation by allowing it... No, we're not doing any sharing of audio recordings.
Debbie's blushing because Kim said she's so tidy.
Ooh.
Hi, Tracy.
English US. Let's go to English UK. Right. So if I said something into this translate thing and it automatically picks Spanish, Tracy would understand every word. Or do I have to read it out? Because it isn't going to work on the radio, is it? I can't show her the phone. Mind you, Tracy would understand.
Why don't you
language.
Say good evening and see if it says bon vespri?
Right. Good evening. Oh, it's not bad.
What's it say?
Buenas tardes. And that's probably not how you pronounce
well, that's
it. Forgive
Spanish.
Me. That's right. That's from the English Spanish.
Right. Where's the Catalan?
I don't know. Let me see if it's listed.
Tracy wants to know what we're doing.
What are you doing? tell me about it, Tracy.
She's playing with iOS 14.
Right.
Tracy.
I've got iOS 14. Right. Are we all paying attention? I've got iOS 14. On my iPhone 7, so it's as old as the hills, and it's you could fry an egg on it already. There's a new app from Apple that's called Translate. So the icon is a black icon, and there's two speech bubbles on it. So when you go into it, there's two things you've got to get past. One tells you what it does, you just click OK. The next one asks you to share stuff with Apple. That's not happening. So I've said no to that one. Now I've got through, and it says English US... which I've changed to UK. And the language it picked was Spanish. And technically speaking, all I need to do is speak into it or type into it in English. And then it will tell me what the Spanish is. Doesn't do much in the way of pronunciation, but, you know, slowly, slowly. And I've just realised there's a play button. So are you ready now? Right. Let's see if it'll actually play it.
Buenas tardes.
Oh, that wasn't me, by the way. don't think you needed to know that. That's fairly obvious.
Yeah, I know von Bon Vespre is Catalan. I nearly said Caledonian. Yeah, I know it's Catalan. That's what I said. Where's the Catalan?
Well, I'm looking at the list of languages and it says all. And they're not in any particular order. Right, available offline languages. And there's a whole list. And there's quite a few, Arabic, German, Italian, Japanese, but I don't... We've got Spanish, and then underneath it says Spain. But
Debbie
we already
says,
have Spanish, so I don't...
Debbie says no Thai.
No, it's weird, isn't it? The choice of languages is really weird. And there is no Catalan. It just says Spanish.
It's all
and
right.
Underneath
Tracy
it says Spain.
Speaks fluent Spanish.
I'm glad one of us does, because I know one who doesn't. That's really quite weird. I'm thinking the French would be incredibly useful, wouldn't it, the beach soccer?
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been good. Instead of which, we did it the old-fashioned way. I rang my dad. No, actually, I rang my mum and told my mum to get my dad on the computer, and I would tell them what I needed him to get Google to translate and send back to me. This was before we even had an iPhone. And then I would write it down phonetically. Hey, it worked. I got to have breakfast with the French team. That's actually then quite useful, apart from the fact there isn't much in the way of languages. Hmm. But not bad. And I love the way you can tap the play button, because that way you wouldn't need to embarrass yourself with the pronunciation. Now, you see, aren't you glad you walked in at that moment, Tracy? Well, I'm playing along. Spanish was the default as well. Mind you, isn't that the most common language in the world? I believe it is. Over here, we tend to do the French thing as the first, second language. Some of us never got beyond English. Some of us should never have been let loose with French. Do you know, some of us were actually really good at French in first year. Could speak it very well back then. Couldn't write a word of it. And then we were on one syllabus. And then when I moved, we're on a different syllabus. And that was it. I totally lost it. Because they'd spent a year writing it. But when we went to France, I could order a cake, which was quite significant and all that mattered to me as far as I was concerned. Cake wasn't even for me. Yeah, that's quite handy. What were we looking at the beginning of this? Oh, I was trying to do the jiggle mode thing. I'm not trusting it. Oh, welcome to App Library. Oh, scary beans. What do you think you're doing? A new home for all your apps organised into smart categories. But that's bizarre, because those apps are already on my phone somewhere else. Oh, does that work on the iPad? Pass me an iPad. Any iPad. Any iPad will do. What a farce. Let's have a dabble. Right, go that way and that way. I don't see it on the iPad. Is it not available on the iPad? I've been tinkering with my iPad today as well. No, don't see it on the iPad. Maybe that's an on-phone thing only. Ah! Anthony's installing it right now. I actually made a point, didn't I? And said, thankfully, it doesn't take as long as it used to. When you look back, and I know it depended on your internet connection, and I know Graham always struggled with his internet connection, but, you know, even with like a 50 or 100 gig internet connection, it was pretty slow. At least now it's done in 20 minutes. I remember nights that I was there 8 hours just trying to get an update. So it's not as bad as it was. Maybe they'll add more languages. I think they probably will. Obviously, Google Translate's got a head start on that. And it's obviously something I've never really tried. Never really bothered with it. The only thing language-wise that we did do and think it was very good was the live translation of PowerPoint. And we did that in two different ways. And that was actually very, very good. So Apple are fairly late to this. I didn't realise that Spain and the Latin American Spanish are very, very different. I had no idea about that. Does it do Polish? Before lockdown, I had a lady who spoke Polish and her daughter translated. I didn't see Polish listed, no. Which is, again, quite strange, isn't it? I'm wondering if you can download extras. It says all languages, and it's Arabic, Chinese, and it says China mainland, English UK, English US, French from France, German from Germany, Italian from Italy, Japanese, doesn't give any details, Korean, Portuguese, Brazil, Russia, and Spanish, Spain. Then it says available offline languages, but the offline languages are exactly the same.
We died in Safari on Debbie's iPad.
Oh dear.
That's not good.
No. What have they broken this time? So, there are languages there, like lots of European languages, just not listed at all. Not even available for download. And yet, it says available offline languages. So I think what you're intended to do with this, if you want to use this offline, the available offline languages underneath, you can actually download. So if you're about to head off somewhere and you may have dodgy internet or you don't want to use mobile data, you can actually choose to download all of those languages, but they are the only languages that are available at the moment. I mean, fair enough, launch with like the important ones, but oh, that's handy. It does remember. So when you've done something, like we've done the Good Evening one, it remembers that in your favourites as recent. So if you'd done kind of 50, you could mark some as being favourites and then quickly get back to it and tap the play button so it can actually read it out. Do you know what would be a good test with this? Doing it the other way. So obviously I can type into it or speak into it in English and I would know what's being said, but then I would need to know what's being said back to me, which it can do. You know, you would just tap the record, listen to what's said, and then it would convert it back from whatever language into English. And it has a setting in there. If you scroll, hang on, where am I going? No, you have to go into the languages. You go into the languages, right down at the bottom, there is a slider and it says automatic detection. Then it says when this is on, Translate will automatically detect which of the two languages is being spoken. So that way you don't have to go in and keep flip-flopping it in the middle of a conversation, which is fairly good. Has anybody tried Google Translate?
I use it all the time.
What, for Swedish?
Mainly for Swedish, but also when people put comments on my feedback, because when people have attended my training, they get sent a form that they have to fill in. So if they've put comments on my feedback, it's usually Swedish, but sometimes it might be Spanish or whatever. So I want to know what they've said.
Yeah, I just think, you know, as per usual with Apple, it's polished enough for what it does. But when you look at Google Translate, it's just a million years ahead. So in the Google Translate one, you can use your camera for instant translation. So the image is a sign on a wall that says sorte. And then the camera's pointing at it and it says exit. You've got probably a million more languages. You've got common things. You can do handwriting. You can do a conversation mode. You can do single mode. And yet Apple are just covering themselves in glory with, look, aren't we clever? And then you look at this one and think, this is a million times better. Let's download it and see if it's got Polish. That could solve a problem. What I will say is, from Google's perspective, if the Apple one is there and it, you know, it's automatically installed by default, so you can't do much about that, can you? People may try it and then think, like Anthony said, does it do Polish? That would be cool. No, it doesn't. You might then be tempted to go find Google Translate and see if that can do a whole lot more. So actually, it can be a kind of gateway to something useful. Again, this is very interesting. I don't know whether it's been spying on me and it knows where Tracy is. But again, Google Translate has defaulted to English and Spanish. Now, does it make a difference as to which Spanish? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Oh, hang on. It says all languages. And like I was expecting, this one has a million times more. Afrikaans, Albanian, Amharic, Arabic, Armenian, Azerbaijani, Basque, Belarusian. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So let's try Polish. See if we've got Polish. Oh, we must have. There's so many. Pashto, Persian, Polish. Right, you need to download a translation file, which is 42 meg. So I will download the Polish one and we'll try the Good Evening thing in Polish and see how we get on. Right, so let's do English to Polish. A search would be nice instead of having me scrolling because there's a million languages here. P-O-P-Q, come on, P-Q, Polish. Right. And I can camera it, conversation it, or voice it. So, if we voice it. Good evening. That didn't put any text in the box. Let's try again. Good evening. Ah! We have Polish. Right, so it's put it in there, and it is, well, dobry is the first word. That's fine. I've heard of dobry before. That must be where dobbing comes from.
Oh.
There you go, you see. Linguistics, don't leave me alone with linguistics. The second word starts with a W, which is probably a V, isn't it? Surprisingly, it doesn't give me any kind of pronunciation help with the Polish. That would be good. But there's a chance I might be able to audio it.
Dobry wieczór. Dobry wieczór.
Cool. So, yes, it's like the halo effect, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, the Apple Translate's there. There's no Polish. I'll try the Google one. And now you've got a Google Translator translating into Polish. Right, so Tracy says it's got Basque but not Catalonia. Let me have a look. Let me have a look in the settings. No, languages. Languages, let's have a look. Yes, it's got Catalan. Right, let's try that again. So let's download that. So it has Basque and it has Catalan. So we've got a Catalan. Let's come out and change that into Catalan and see if we've got a good evening there. Right. Now that's really interesting. The phrase I had typed in, which is why this one piddles all over the Apple one, I had a good evening in there in English. And once I changed the second language to Catalan, it comes in straight away with what was in it before.
Bona nit.
How good's that? Is that good?
Bona nit.
Yeah, I actually think that is very, very handy. It's the kind of app the it would behove you to spend 20 minutes with it, because when you need it is not the time to be learning how to use it. Oh, there might be scope for a demo of that. Right, let me get back up here. What's the clinking noise? That'll
probably
be you.
My mouse.
My moving, probably. Oh, I think if it's on an iPad and Debbie's struggling, I reckon it's probably the update. Hello, Simon. How you doing? Use it for some genealogy if you can read it. Oh, awesome. Maybe it just assumes I'm going to Spain for my holiday. Well, it could make that assumption, Anthony, but that would be rather alarming as I've never been to Spain. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, oh, I know what I'll do next. Tracy, that's genius. Right, what I'm going to do is, right, I'm going to zoom in. And let's see if it can read it with the camera-y thing. Right, new camera features. Yeah, whatever, just get on with it. Yes, you can access the camera. And oh, good grief. That's amazing. Right, what I've done with it is I've pointed it at the chat. And it's picked up the fact it's English, but because I had the second language set to Catalan, it's live translating the chat into Catalan. So I've now got Debbie and Simon talking in Catalan. Oh, Tracy, you've got to try this. It's fabulous. Oh, it's fabulous. So if I whip out and I go the other way. Yep, it's now doing it. So if I scroll back up to that bit, I saw the MacBytes family bit as well. In fact, without doing any translation, I reckon Donna is grateful, maybe. But thank you. So thanks for all the MacBytes family. You're thanking us for our support in these dark times. And now that's before I've done this with it. Let's have a look at it and see what it says. I want to thank the whole family of MacBiters for its support in recent months. And that's live. Oh, this is fantastic. I need to go somewhere, Mike, to try it.
Where do you want to go?
How about Earlstown? Do you think it translates to Earlstown?
Peewets.
Oh, Earlstown. There's a radio shop in Earlstown.
What past is best for
exactly,
baby.
I'm just going to do that. So we goes to Earlstown for my dad with this radio shop. And was it... Were you in the chip shop? You must have been.
No.
Can't Well, it wasn't me.
That story came from an ex-colleague.
Oh, right. But they were in this shop.
Because we used to work at St. Helens.
A fish and chip shop. So you'd be talking about fish and chips and stuff. And somebody said, what pasta is best for baby? And I thought, your pardon? Did you speak English? And the other one was peewets.
Peewets.
And I had no idea what peewets were. I can make a guess.
Mushy peas.
Mushy peas. Yeah. I've never heard them called peewets before. So, yeah, if I'm going to Earlstown, I do need translation. You were indeed talking in Catalan, Simon. It was amazing. And thank you for the lovely message, Tracy. And, this is fantastic. Tracy, I could set it up and Tracy could put Catalan in all night.
Yeah. Try out with Geordie.
Oh, good grief.
Why, aye, man.
And I did stick it in there, Tracy, and it was fantastic.
Well, Pete's from up that way, isn't he?
He is. Well, Yorkshire. Yeah. It's amazing that just what it can do in real time. When you see the Google one and through clean eyes, I've never looked at it before, and you then compare it with the Apple one, you just realise how laughable the Apple one is. That Google Translate's amazing, and I've never used it before. Never had a need to use it. In this thing with the French team in the beach soccer, there was lots of gesticulation going on and nodding. I did look up the night before how to say, like in English you would say see you next year, and it was l'année prochaine, and I said it to him, and he just had this biggest grin on his face and said certainement. So, and I understood that that meant certainly. So yeah, I was very happy. But oh, that would be amazing. Oh, you've never had much luck with Google Translate. I think they've probably improved it. I mean, the last time I saw it, it was like you could point it at a sign and there you go. But this is in real time. Wow. Ah, I did fairly well translating on my own. I could probably have got just enough to be dangerous, couldn't I, Tracy? If it's a lovely message like that, I've got the gist of it. If it's the instructions to the nuclear reactor, don't rely on me. I could have missed a no out and been none the wiser. But that was fun. That was fun, wasn't it? Nice one, Apple. That's fun. I'm wondering why I don't have some of the features I would really, really like on my iPad. And now I'm desperate for apps to update so I can use the little widgety things. But I've noticed with the little widgety things, they have put back all the ones that I don't like nor want. So I've got three or four calendar things. I've got the weather. Well, that's never right. So basically look out the window. They've put the news thing back. And I've got a widget for maps, which that's going to flatten the battery soon as look at it. It's put the tips app back. Never use that. It's put the stocks app back. Never going to use that either. It's put back the usage thing, like why? I'm not bothered. And then at the bottom, it's got all of the old style widgets. And, you know, some of those are so important, I'd like them at the top, but that's not an option. Google Calendar's the main one. But having looked at the little calendary thing there, the one that comes with it, so the built-in calendar, it's not bad. It's not bad. But I must admit, I don't get on with the built-in calendar. You use it, don't you? You binned it because I told you to.
I'm using Google Calendar right now.
I am, and it's much better.
But it's there. I've stuck it on the last page.
The thing that gets me with the Apple one is the views. It's the interface that's the problem with it. It's not that it doesn't work. My calendar on my desktop doesn't work. I don't get notifications. The other one does work. I'll give it that. But when you come to switch views, you can often lose the list view that I actually do like. So I don't tap anything like go back or I'll never find it again. So I'll leave that completely alone. The choice of widgets is a bit weird. Does anybody ever check their usage stats and think, oh, I must get off Facebook? Because I must admit, I don't.
No, I say I must go on Facebook more.
mine on this...
You'll be limiting my screen time next.
That's what I'm saying. I don't find that much useful. This is interesting. It says Facebook, 1 second. I must have tapped it inadvertently. Gmail, 10 seconds. Ooh, somebody's not got much mail. Settings, 48 seconds. Translate, 7 minutes. That's because we've been having fun. App Store, 1 hour, 59 minutes. Yeah, I was updating. That explains the temperature of this phone. I was updating all of the apps. That was definitely worth investigating, Translate. But now I've seen the Apple one, don't bother. Just download the Google one. You could even download it and use it on a different account if you wanted to. We'll have to see how that goes. Anyway, let me back over here. Right. Do R is to give. Think donation. Ah, indeed. Good for monitoring your kids. That's true. Yeah, I guess it would be. Interesting to know. Never made me do anything different. Me neither, Anthony. In fact, you know when you get the kind of summary that you get at the end of the week and you watch? And it says, like, your screen time was up 40%. I'm like, yes! Because it means I've had a good week. I've been working. Because I'm not on Facebook or whatever. I'm having another break from Facebook. Facebook's weird for me. I go into Facebook, I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, and I post some things to friends. And then I don't go in for one day and then I just can't be bothered. So I disappear for weeks on end. Same with Twitter.
I haven't been on Twitter for ages.
The thing with Twitter is it used to be so different. It's got very polarised. So if you remember Twitter back from sort of 2007, 2008, it was lovely. And now it's a bit toxic. Even, you know, people that you follow, I mean, for us, we're getting both barrels. We have friends who are pro-Brexit and we have friends who are anti-Brexit. Well, we're kind of in the transition of Brexit. But this has been rumbling on for 4.5 to 5 years. And these friends, half of them are no longer talking to each other. And if you talk to one of them and you don't talk to the other one, then it's a bit tribal. Add on top of that the thing with Trump, which is also equally divisive. At the beginning, it was Trump and Hillary Clinton, and now it's Trump and anybody. You know, and I appreciate some people love the guy, some people don't. Can you just respect each other's opinions? But the short version is no, they can't. So they're scrapping amongst themselves. In the meanwhile, you've got the COVID thing arrived, and now I've got people who are anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers, and I've got people who are pro-mask and pro-vaccine, and I feel like the meat in the sandwich of all of it, because whatever my opinions are, I'm prepared to respect everybody else's, but they're just arguing amongst themselves. So it's like standing in no man's land in the middle of a war zone, isn't it, Twitter? Which is sad. You go cook dinner, because we do not have much in the way of turnaround time today, do we? Yet another hugely busy day. In fact, I was actually doing two sessions at the same time this afternoon whilst making notes on a third one. And I've just noticed that Notion's doing some weirdness. So I need to work out what Notion's doing, because I did not ask it to do that. So Notion's clearly doing its own thing at the moment. Right, let's have a look. In brackets is the literal translation. That's really useful, isn't it? Give thanks to. That's what I always found tricky with French. It isn't just a case of knowing the words and saying them in the English order. You have to appreciate the words are actually in a different order, and which is what makes you sound like a tourist. Although I was at a session last week by a lady, and I think her first language is Spanish. She's not. Now, is she based in Spain? She might be, you know. She could be. So what dialect of Spanish? I have no idea. But clearly Spanish was her first language. And when she's speaking, she gets all the words right in English, but they're not in the right order. And there's some words. I don't know how you would pronounce this in Spanish, but she's saying the word areas. Only she says arias. And it gets me every time. I'm like, what? Oh, yes, areas. Yes, I get you. It's a pronunciation issue on that one. That's not the order of the words. It's actually the pronunciation. Deb has Mac Bites After Hours on it as it's coming up. Excellent. I think I need to put some more on. I tend to put them on in batches, and I tend to put them on as soon as I've got the YouTube link. But I think for some of them, I'm up to, here we go. The last one on the calendar is the 2nd, which is 2 weeks away. So before the end of September, I'll need to put the next batch on. But you'll notice, if you have looked at the calendar, that we're all marooned up until the 11th of October. Not because we don't that we don't think we're going to be in lockdown after the 11th of October. We will be. That's just as far as I've got with it. In fact, in relation to the lockdown thing, we now have 4 groups of rules applying to us where we are and our surrounding area. And there is talk of another national lockdown over the half-term holiday, which is mid-October. So I'm going backwards here in the UK. How's everybody else doing with that? It's crazy. Anthony's trying to get into Twitter, but never bothered with it. It's very much now about, I mean, I heard a term the other day, and I did a double take when I heard this term, because for me, Twitter was about a conversation with people who had similar interests. And the conversational aspect seems to have gone now. It's like shouting into an abyss. And if you're not screaming, no one's taking any notice. If you just put something up, you know, I put a thing up about there's a new version of Evernote. And it was literally because I had Twitter open and I was reading about this new Evernote. And I thought, I'll just tweet that. Now, Deb did notice that, which is good. Because normally I just there's just nobody comes back and you do feel like, oh, why bother? Why bother? It's not conversations. But this word that I heard was a word that I thought, well, I think I know what that word means. But before I tell you what the word is, I was thinking as I was trying to think, I wonder if that's what it actually means. Thinking to myself, why would you do that? And it very much struck me as a little bit on the narcissistic side. But the word was Twitter storm. A tweet storm. And what it is where you tweet like 14 tweets, one after the other. And you finish each one with one of 14, two of 14, three of 14. And it's like an expression of you know, what you're interested in this week. And I'm like, why don't you just write a blog post? But they wanted their content, this content that they turned into 14 tweets, you know, forcibly injected into somebody else's feed. And I'm thinking, how rude. I remember when to send 2 tweets, one after the other, was considered very ill-mannered. But now apparently a tweet storm is where it's at. So I'm not the best at Twitter anymore, because that to me is like, why would somebody do that? If it's worth reading, can people only manage it in tweets now? I found that very, very strange. But if that's what Twitter is now... Kim quit going to Facebook because family and friends are doing the same. I mainly have, I mean, there's no family to be involved with. I literally have no family. But and Mike doesn't, I think Mike's brother's on it, but they don't follow each other. His mother never posts anything. She's there just to see pictures of the grandchild. So he's not on it for family either. It was, I mean, I joined years and years ago. And it's like, oh, yeah, cool. Mm. And then didn't go on it for years. Mainly it got promoted to the homepage of my iPhone because of the community at the church. And that community aspect is still there. Not particularly talking about church things anymore. But Facebook itself, again, it's gone quite toxic. So I must admit, I'm not particularly minded to dive in there. I do like the kind of funny things that people put up there. But again, I've got the pro-Brexiters and the negative Brexiters. I've got all sorts going on. The Trumpers, the non-Trumpers, you name it. And the only thing I'll say, you know, I'll come across this thing and it'll be like, Trump's fabulous. Sun shines out of his illuminated backside. And I'm like, does it? Oh, OK, then. And I'm like, I'll ignore that. And then the next tweet will say, a Facebook post, will say the exact opposite. So while I'm thinking, should I mute these people? I'm thinking, no. If you mute one, you're going to have to mute the other. But at the moment, one says X and then the other comes on and says Y. And I'm fully informed. I've got both sides of this. So I've left them alone. The only one I muted was... There was nothing else in this feed apart from atheist stuff. And I do not have a problem with atheists. I don't have a problem with Liverpool supporters. But if you can imagine somebody coming on and not posting, oh, aren't Liverpool great, but coming on with Liverpool are rubbish all the time. It was nothing but negativity. And I can't understand, you know, it would be like Mike saying, I'm a United fan, but his entire feed being anti-Liverpool. I couldn't grasp the logic of it. Because half these things were saying, you know, you've got your faith, don't push it down my throat. And I'm like, that's fine, but could you not force whatever you're rabbiting about down mine? And apparently not. So I thought, yeah, mute Buttonsville, which I did, but only ever once. And not because I can't see somebody else's point of view. It's just like, if it was positive, then I'd be fine. But not if it's just, don't do this, don't do that. Oh, no. Life's too short. Far, far too short. So Kim says, go to Twitter to get the headline news. You'll be pleased to know today, Kim, I've not looked at the news at all. Shall I look at the news? We'll see where the panda line is today. Let's see what kind of complete fiasco the government have caused today. I've got one eye open. Hang on. Circuit break. The PM does not want another lockdown, but says a second wave is coming. Therefore, what are you intending to do about it, Boris? That last bit was my question, not in the headline. But all they're doing again, so I'm not going into any details on these stories. I'm just looking. Yeah, Boris has used the phrase circuit break. Now, that's a phrase we've never heard before in relation to COVID. What he's talking about is this 2-week lockdown. If he brands it with a phrase that is repeatable and quotable, like circuit break, not 2-week lockdown, oh, that's boring. If he gives it a personality, right, so we have a circuit break, then he can try and sell it. So it looks like to me that's a guaranteed ploy. That's exactly what they're going to do. 2 weeks in the middle of October, covering the children's half-term break. But it's not a lockdown. It's a circuit break. Right, I've hit the panda line. So I'm going to close the news app down. That's enough of that. We're not going anywhere anytime soon, are we? Let's just face it. Circuit break or no circuit break. And when you think we haven't even hit flu season yet, why did they let everybody out on the 4th of July, opening the pubs, the restaurants, the schools, play areas, you name it. Anyone could mingle with anyone. It was all going to be fine. And everyone screaming, second wave, and we got ignored. And now where are we at? We might as well not have bothered having the lockdown at the beginning that we did, because all it's done, it hasn't just flattened the curve. The curve went flat and now it's rising again, and it's going to end up as bad as it did. 6,000 cases a day. Lovely. So I'm going to be here till whenever. In fact, today I got invited to a theatre outing. And I looked at this and it was a comedy show in the theatre. And it said something like November. I thought, you've got to be kidding. You know, that's not going to happen in November. We've actually got special tickets because we bought a brick for the Octagon Theatre's reopening. So you are invited to this people who bought a brick only event. And they've put it on. It was supposed to be on in the summer this year. And not only did I buy a brick, not only did Mike buy a brick, but we bought bricks for his mum and his dad. And one is in memory of his dad. So it's got his professional name on it. He worked under a professional name. So the one for his mum and dad is in his name and the other one is in his working name. And they're really pleased at the theatre that they've got this brick from somebody who worked at the theatre. He starred in loads of plays there in the 70s. Well, this brick thing, it's the brick buyer's party, and it was supposed to be in the summer. So the original plan was we would take them both along. Obviously, since then, Mike's dad got ill and then died. But she's got both these things so she can go along and have a look at these bricks. And then it didn't happen in the summer. 4th of December. Don't know about you, but I can't see us, 4th of December, going to a brick buyer's party. So I'm looking at this thing advertising this comedian, shaking my head sadly, as though, you know, November, it's a matter of weeks away. And we've not even reached the second peak yet. So let's be honest, it's not going to happen. When I caught sight of the year underneath and thought, oh, right, I get it. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it's 2021. No, it was 2022. They are selling tickets right now. They went on sale today for this event in November 2022. On that basis, shall I schedule in marooned for that long? And yet the theatre next door, they've still got this thing on the 4th of December this year. It's so not happening. Right. Debbie needs to get some things done before class. That's so cool. I'm not surprised that you left these groups, Debbie. It's not enjoyable, is it? Because no one's like, I respect your opinion, but you know what? Not the place. It turns really nasty. Really nasty, really quick. So I just don't bother going in as much. Anthony's fortunate he's got two people on Facebook who feel that the world and their dog want to know their political views are easy to ignore. What gets me is the ones that come out of nowhere. You know, like this person's been posting about football and the fact that they've moved house and they've moved from like down on the south coast up to the northwest. So it's a big move. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this political rant. And I'm like, whoa, what happened there? I was expecting it to be about football or the move or, you know, he likes going to the pub. And this political rant came out of the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, didn't think of that. And then about a week later, I posted something completely innocuous. I mean, I tend to post like funny stuff. This was completely innocuous. And he felt the need to give me a history lesson on something or other. Totally disagreeing. I thought, but that was like a joke. That was funny. So I mentioned it to Mike and he went, oh, he's off on one. Ignore him. You know, he's got stuff in his personal life. And I thought, well, I wouldn't be all over Facebook being nasty in reply to people, because by the time you've recovered, you're going to have nobody, no friends to talk to. They'll have blocked you. You know, if I'm feeling in any way down about something or upset, offended by something, you know, just not having the best time, the last thing on the planet I would do is go near social media. I just think I'd much rather crawl into my hole and stay there until I'm feeling better. But many, many people seem to like to vent. Another one that I've seen quite a bit of, and I can only imagine how horrific this is. I've lost my mum and dad. I lost our son. You know, I know what it's like to lose somebody. People who have had a miscarriage. And sometimes they're telling you about the miscarriage, but you didn't know they were pregnant because it was in the first 3 months. What do you say to somebody on social media about that? And then they carry on. And on what would have been their due date, they're saying like it would have been the due date. What are you supposed to say that's going to make them feel any better at all? And then as it goes on, I've got one that's like, it would have been my child's 8th birthday today. You know, and it brings back to me sort of, oh, when we lost Maya. And it might be cathartic for them, but I find it quite difficult. I mean, you can click on the care thing, you know, the new one with the heart and the arms around it. But it still feels a bit weird to me, but that's just me. I crawl into a hole and don't share. I just think it might affect other people. Another thing I see people do, and again, I don't personally get it, is when you're sharing, dad passed 10 years ago today. And I'm like, you know, there's a lovely picture and it's like, I see it every year. But if I was having a down day and I was thinking I'm missing my mum, I'm missing my dad, that could push me over the edge. That's why if I'm not 100% convinced that anything that comes up in Facebook, I can handle it today. That's why I'm looking at Facebook. But other than that, if I'm like 50%, I'm like, no, I won't bother looking, because I can't really control what comes up in the feed. And you don't know what kind of negative impact that might just have on you. Well, that's the way I look at it. But then I could be weird. Right. Because in Spanish, it's pronounced Arias. Yeah, that does make sense. It's just in the context when you hear that word, it's totally off. It's totally off. Twitter likes to dogpile on people. They do. You muted one of my friends, but not her husband. I like the positive posts a lot better. So what I've done is I've created a list, and it's like the positivity list. It's got the dinky kittens on it. It's got the lovely puppies on it. It's got Samoyed things on it. It's got pandas on it. So if I'm like, let's go and look at some positivity. Oh, and butterflies. I've got one with butterflies on it. So my main feed, it can be quite toxic. And the nearer we get to November, the more toxic it's going to get. But generally speaking, the list that I've created with people that I know don't post that kind of stuff, and all of the positive stuff, like the little kittens and the puppies. Oh, yeah. I am so there with my pandas. Oh, your friend's girlfriend's into animal rights, and I would always post pictures of animals, so amused. Oh, I do get a few of those, Anthony. Absolutely. And the other one is hunting. You know, when people are trying to ban these hunts that go on abroad, like trophy hunts. I think the Trump kids had shot a giraffe, and it's upsetting. That sticks with me. And another guy was in Saudi Arabia, and I think this possibly is a Saudi thing. They tend to tie dogs to the back of a car and then drive off and then take photos. Oh, no, I can't be doing with it. So I muted that as well. You know, nobody minds you sort of bringing it to somebody's attention, saying maybe we should have a law against this, but not in the kind of graphic. No, I don't need to see it. Don't need to see it. And the hunting ones do get me, because, you know, these animals are so magnificent. And I can't understand somebody stood next to a dead animal with a gun. I don't understand the mentality. I mean, you could say they're free to do what they like, but are they sentient beings? You get off into a heck of a debate, but do you really need to do that? Because I now think much less of you as a person. I can't help it. It's not a fair fight. If you want to fight with an animal, fine, but don't take the elephant gun, hey? Let's make it a fair fight and see how you fare with that. I cannot understand that. I mean, didn't a dentist do that from, was it Texas? And it was all over the internet. The guy nearly lost his business. Even went into hiding. And I heard about, probably about 2 weeks ago, he'd gone off on another hunt. And I thought, some people just never learn. I don't get it. I will look at the pandas, Kim. You muted relatives. Oh, wow. If it's hateful and repetitive. Yeah. Twitter's very left-leaning, nothing in the middle. You're quite right, there's not. There's nothing in the middle in America or here. Absolutely not. Swine flu possible in China. Oh, brilliant. Pig farmers being infected. I would say, only I'm not going to, but I would say, how much worse can it get? But it's 2020, so I'm not going to ask that question. I'm just going to turn the pandas on and leave it playing. When the football players weren't standing for the national anthem, loved football so much and was disappointed. Ours is kicking off at the moment, not in relation to the national anthem, but in terms of Black Lives Matter. Because the FA or the Premier League, one or the other, put patches on the shirts. And that was at the end of last season, which obviously ran into the summer. And they were doing the kneeling thing at the beginning of every game. And I think it's true to say there wasn't one dissenter. Black, white, yellow, whatever colour. There wasn't one dissenter. But then the politicians were criticising them. So as we've gone into this new season, the Black Lives Matter badges have gone. They've been replaced with the Premier League's own anti-racism thing. Which I don't have a problem with. There should be no racism in football. I get that. And we've been screaming about it since the 70s. But, you know, I do get when I go, there's a lot of sexism as well. And I don't see any badges about that. So it's a minefield. Leave it alone. It's a minefield. Because what kicked it off in this country about any kind of thing to do with gender neutrality or equality or Black Lives Matter or anything like that is the fact that UEFA, who are a body above our national sporting bodies, this was for the whole of Europe, said that we couldn't put poppies on there for Armistice Day. Now, that's going to be like a red rag to a bull. They were not allowed to, like, have embroidered into the shirts a poppy or any other kind of thing. And I said to Mike, if I was a player, I would have it tattooed on my arm, and they couldn't do a thing about that because I just thought banning it was ridiculous. But if you're going to ban things, then we shouldn't have adverts on shirts, and all of a sudden we shouldn't have the Black Lives Matter. Well, that's okay. Why is that one okay if another one isn't okay? And then it becomes like every cause known to mankind wants a badge on the shirt. So let's just keep it that there are no badges on shirts, shall we? But they changed their mind, and now they're getting criticised from the people who want a badge on the shirt for something else. And then we've got something else to be polarised about. Right, are we getting on? Some people don't want to keep private anymore. Oh, some of the things I've seen. It's like, really? Do you want to be sharing that? I do find it quite upsetting when you've got, like, because the girl who had a miscarriage, that she ended up not having just one. She had at least eight that I know of, which she did not see coming, because the first time she had a perfectly healthy baby, no problem, within a couple of months of getting married. But he's now an only child. So there's that many anniversaries of when she lost it, when it would have been born. I can't keep up. Obviously, each one is precious to her, but it's a little bit oversharing. And then she's in support groups for people who have had multiple miscarriages, and she's reposting their trauma as well. Now, luckily, I am beyond the age of having a child. And even when I wasn't, I didn't particularly want one. But it's still quite upsetting to think of the trauma that people are going through. And I personally know a lady who took the child, didn't take the child to term, but he was born and then died within 2 days. Never got over it. Never got over it. So when you read about, you know, birthdays and how I feel, it's traumatic to read it. Every time I see something like that, it takes me straight back to the day we lost Maya. And I don't really want to feel the way I felt the day we lost Maya. I want to remember the happy times with Maya. And I don't see anything positive being posted, because I guess for them that it would still be negative. So they're not going to post, oh, we would have started school today, how fabulous. It's all negative. Whereas I will post things like, I think the last one I posted was last year, and it was Maya would have been 18 today. And pictures of him as a puppy. I mean, there was no way he was going to live till 18. Not the life he lived, believe you me. But it was all happy pictures of, like, what an adventure he had. Not the negative stuff. But hey, that's people, isn't it? Kim can't watch sad things anymore. No, I agree with you. There's just too much of it. And why the need, particularly, not individuals even. You get it with when they want a charity donation. And they're showing you starving kids or horrendous injuries. And it's too much. The one that used to get my mum, this for her, this was like, that's it, I'm done, was donkeys, distressed donkeys. And it was on the news channel. Now, there are two news channels. One is Sky News and there's adverts, and the other is BBC and there isn't. But she'd had enough of the BBC news. So she goes on to Sky News, and then she said, there's too many adverts in this. And I'm thinking, why are you sitting watching it for 3 hours? It's depressing after 5 minutes. But she said, and there's this advert that keeps coming on, and they're looking for money for donkeys. And she said, you should see the state of the donkeys. It's heartbreaking. And I remember once I may have made a mistake here. You know how my mother had fixed views and was usually right. I said, Mother, there's an off button. Pro tip, don't say that. I got both barrels there. But it's true. There is an off button, or can you watch the other side without the ads? I never watch ads, ever, on principle. If there's a program on and I want to watch it and it's got ads, I will start watching. So say it's, and you know, there's very, very few of these, incidentally. But one would have been Lewis. I do like Lewis. It started at 8 o'clock. It went on till 10 o'clock. I didn't start watching till 8:30. I just pressed pause at 8 o'clock. And every time there was an ad break, I just whizzed forward. Didn't see an ad all night. And finished same time everybody else did. But they'd wasted half an hour of their life watching all of the adverts, whereas I had been reading a book. So I was quite happy. But no, no, don't say to Mum there's an off button. That did not end well. And she could sulk for weeks. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Hunt with a camera. Just, they're so magnificent, these creatures. They really are. Just let them live. I wonder if the dentist went back and put the picture on his office wall. Because I think that's quite terrifying. Anybody that could hurt an animal like that, I would not be letting near me as a dentist. Let's just say that. Oh, dear. You can still enjoy the process of hunting, but come away with some really good photos. They would. Photos like that would impress people way more. And if they've got the money to do it, which they clearly have, and you don't just have the one either of you stood there with the dead animal, you've got a whole range of them and admiration that you're ploughing money into it for conservation. So, yeah, why not? But what can you say? My hubby and I always say happy birthday on our son's birthday in a positive way. He died a day after his birth. I never post pictures or say anything online about what and when it happened. That is just, it's so sad, Deb. It really is. But I think it's a nice positive way to say happy birthday. But it can, you know, for other people, they probably feel that it, some people, I would say to you, what a positive way of remembering him. How amazing. But for other people, they feel incredibly awkward. They don't know what to say. And I think that might not help the person who originally posts it, because then they feel like, well, no one's saying anything and I'm being ignored and I'm hurting today. And people might want to say something, but they just don't know what to say without upsetting you. I mean, I know our son was a dog, but, you know, people are just as bad if it's a skin kid. We got, and I hope to God you didn't, but we got when you're buying another one. So I can just imagine somebody having lost a child. There are people who would say, oh, yes, but you can always have another one, which is like, don't say that. That's like the worst thing to say. It's just amplified when it's a dog, because instead of having another one, you are buying another one. And you've heard the things that we've said that people have said to us. Lola, oh, she's second hand. She's rescue, maybe. She has a second home, but you know, she still sees the people in the first home. It's crazy. It is crazy. Oh, I think that's lovely and positive, Deb. Proud of you. Right, I'm going to have to get off, or I'm not going to be ready for after hours, am I? Nor am I going to have eaten. So it's Two Show Friday, which is fabulous. So hopefully we'll see you all again at 8 o'clock.
Yes, it's good night from me.
Out of order, but never mind, I'll sort it in the edit. It's good night from him first.
And it's good night from me.
Go and sort your dinner out, crying out loud. Right, let's do this properly. It's good night from me. It's good night from Mike. We will both see you next time, but we'll also see you in 1 hour at After Hours. Stay safe, guys.